I pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hey, everybody. Attendance?
Sure, thank you. Sarah Sitter is present, Mr. Kevin Stroyan is present, Mr. Bob DeLorenzo is present, Mr. Ray Willis is present, Mr. Roman Bonanno is present, Mr. Michael Williams is present. That's all.
Review of the previous minutes.
Any comments?
I was not present.
Any comments or changes or corrections? We can't vote on them tonight anyway, it's a workshop. But is there any changes or additions or...
None at the moment.
Not at the moment, okay. Moving on, AutoZone. So is everybody present for the AutoZone presentation? We're not hearing you. You must be muted.
No, he's not muted.
Maybe you've got him muted, so...
I almost zoomed tonight. Almost.
I was close. I was close.
Anybody?
Yeah, right.
Yep, here. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's, what?
We had you for a second there.
Okay, let me try that again.
Now you're on.
Okay, great. I know it was much better when I was in person, but anyway, thank you very much for the opportunity to present tonight. We have the AutoZone team.
For the benefit of the record, please introduce yourself.
Sure, my name is Carmen DiDiano. I'm with MDM Engineers. We are the civil engineers for the AutoZone development.
Thank you, Carmen.
I think in the audience, I think, is Mr. Rosato, the property owner. I think he is there this evening.
Yes, he is.
Yes, sir.
And on the video conference with us is Mr. Tom Balchick with AutoZone Operations and my project manager, Randy Jacoby, who will be handling the graphic presentation with presenting the plans and the elevations. So we had a chance to go back to the drawing board, so to speak, and look at some revision. I'm going to ask Randy if she can put up the...
Recording in progress.
You're okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead, you're good.
Randy, can you put up the site plan?
Yes.
What is the candle?
It's the hooks the same teeth. It won't let me share the screen.
I just allowed multiple participants now.
She just allowed it now. Yep, it's there.
Oh, perfect. Oh, good.
Think you need to start over.
Why aren't we hearing this? I think she's talking, but we can't hear her.
So can everybody see that?
Yep.
Yeah, we can see it, but she breaks up when she's talking.
Okay, well, let me see if I can drive, and I'll let Randy... turn the letter, so to speak. She can run the cursor, but as we previously discussed, this is a single parcel that will remain a single piece of property, and the intention is that the property owner will develop two developments within this parcel. The AutoZone piece will be a lease parcel, as will the potential restaurant building at the rear of the site. So as we have discussed in the past, the access point for this property, I'm sorry. We good?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, we're just putting out a paper map.
So the access point for this development will be through the existing Dollar General driveway. As we all remember, when these properties were subdivided, created, developed, PennDOT stipulated that access to this particular property would be through the recorded easement from the Dollar General. And so the development's been designed to basically reflect that access and egress through the Dollar General piece. The AutoZone building is pretty much the same building we had shown you the first time. It sits in the front part of the site. And then there's a potential restaurant building, about 4,000 square foot restaurant building with an outside patio intended to sit at the rear of the property. And then into the furthest rear of the property would be an on-lot septic system and an on-lot detention pond, both intended to service the entire development. The development proposes 131 parking spaces, and 130 parking stalls would be required. 50 stalls required for the AutoZone, and then 80 parking stalls required for the restaurant. Obviously, stormwater will be managed on-site with an on-site retention system. As we get into the construction design, we will do infiltration testing for stormwater management for an underground system through the AutoZone parcel that will then be supplemented by the retention pond at the rear. And of course, both buildings will be serviced by an on-lot septic system. We'll work with Mr. DiLorenzo to get the proper infiltration testing done to determine and confirm the location for that system. All other utilities are adequate and available for the property. There's water along the front of US Route 6 and 209. Gas, electric, of course, are along the frontage as well. And we believe that based upon our review of the township zoning ordinances, the development would comply with requirements with respect to setbacks, parking requirements, lot coverage, impervious coverage, etc. Any questions so far on the overall master development plan?
Here's what we're looking at.
Hearing none,
hang on a minute, Carmen.
Sure.
There's your access, right?
No.
Which is right there.
Right.
So you figure the parking spots are 9 foot right. Wide.
You said he's got 130.
So he's about roughly 9 feet back from that opening, just to give us an idea where to build it.
Along the side.
It's not far in front of Dollar General.
Is that here in meditation, Dover?
A little bit. Probably about 5-6 feet.
Well, there's
from downtown Green side.
So that to these guys, so they know what we're talking about.
That I saw.
Just so you know, we're talking about as far as where the building sits.
Yep. Sits more.
Okay.
Closer to.
Where's the entrance? Okay, so if you take this and run.
Well,
straight,
this is all
yeah,
the setback.
Yeah, no, it's sitting about 9 feet back.
They're including the.
So from here, it's probably just about.
This is your setback.
5 or 6 feet.
Yeah,
or general at the most. We thought it was going to be a lot.
No, we're discouraging parking in the front. Right.
But all the.
But we're going to.
But all this stuff is all.
We didn't get to that yet.
There's no setback. I see what you're saying.
That was
would we be looking for them to be the same?
I don't think
or is that a couple feet?
A couple feet
it doesn't really matter.
We just thought from looking at the plan it was going to be way forward.
Right. Yeah, it's not so much.
Carmen, with Bill here, are you asking for conditional use on both buildings, but land development on one? or both?
Well, if our review of the zoning is correct, both buildings would require a conditional use. Both the AutoZone retail store and the restaurant would require conditional use. So we will be seeking conditional use approval for both developments, both pieces, both buildings. The intention is for AutoZone to construct their building and parking as part of phase one. I do not believe there is a tenant selected yet for the restaurant, so it is conceptual at this stage in nature. So there is nobody lined up yet to develop the back parcel. So the goal is for AutoZone to come forward with a phase one development. And if Randy could put up that second site plan, I can show you guys what that phase one development looks like.
Well, I'm Carmine, hold one second. I'm interested in our attorney's question. We're going to do both conditional uses at this time. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So even without a tenant, you're willing to answer the appropriate questions that would go along with a conditional use?
Yeah, we believe both the property owner and the developer are in line with that, yes.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. So Randy, can you put up the second site plan?
And tonight is just discussion.
Right? Just discussion. We didn't even accept it yet.
Carmen, can you see the...
No, I still have the original. I still have the first one up.
Well, while you have the first one up, a couple questions. Where is there a place for the alternate septic? The septic is going to serve both buildings, correct?
Well, depending upon the infiltration testing, one of the things we were hoping is that we could put the AutoZone field, septic field, behind the back of the AutoZone, still be 10 feet off the property. But as you can see behind the back of the AutoZone, there's a pretty big green space. And the AutoZone stores have two single-use restrooms. They use about 85 gallons of water a day. I know the system has to be designed for the minimum size for the DEP, but our hope was that we could put the septic field for the AutoZone behind the back of the building, and then the septic field that was proposed in the rear corner could be strictly for the restaurant. If for some reason the septic field for the AutoZone would not be compliant with the code or would not infiltrate, then yes, there would be a common septic field for both uses, but each of the buildings would have their own dosing chamber, septic tank, and individual sanitary lines that would run to the septic field.
And yeah, we still got to show an alternate site, a backup site for it, because it's going to be over 800 gallons a day on the property.
Yeah, we were hoping that the retention pond footprint that we show is oversized, so we could put the second location at the same rear corner of the property and then just reduce the size of the retention pond by putting it in, using the underground conveyance piping as additional storage and perhaps even an underground tank farm. So we have the ability, I think, to put two septic fields in the back if we need to have alternate locations for both the restaurant and the AutoZone.
Yeah, well, we're really not going to have answers for that until we do the testing and figure everything out.
Right.
Well, with respect to the septic behind the building, I know that this is commercial property, but we do have a residential use next to you in the Milford Town Green property. What was the intention to shield or protect or separate those properties?
Did you have a chance to look at section 410 in our zoning ordinance?
Yes.
Okay, where it requires a 25-foot setback?
Yes, for the parking field.
Yeah, you're only showing...
3 foot.
Yeah, 3 foot one or something.
Yeah, for here.
Back at the rear corner where the restaurant parking is, that's correct.
Yeah, none of the improvements are more, are over the 25-foot setback. The dumpster area, the front parking area, the rear parking area, none of them meet that requirement.
Yeah, because when you're doing commercial against residential, you're supposed to leave a 25-foot buffer, and with, if there's vegetation and trees in it, you're supposed to leave them in it. And then if there's further buffer required, that's up to the planning board.
Are we in agreement that the parking area may be over?
I didn't hear that.
Overdone.
Well, what are you saying now?
Yeah. Yeah,
that's about the parking, you know.
Is the parking, I mean, that seems like a lot of parking for this place. Is there any movement on that?
Well, I think maybe, and maybe Mr. Rosato can answer this, I think maybe part of the issue with the parking is you're going to have different operation of hours. And you may need the extra parking that's in the auto zone when you're operating in the evenings at your restaurant.
There's a possibility of that.
See some dual use here.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether, I don't know whether we want to be reducing parking and creating a, because we don't know if the change of use is going to, if the use changes.
Well, yeah, in the future, I understand that.
It all depends on how good his restaurant is.
Well, we know it's going to be good.
You be good, so I hope to have you with us.
So to talk a little bit about the parking, I can tell you from the perspective of AutoZone's requirements, AutoZone's usage, the typical AutoZone will put in about 35 parking spaces. 50 parking spaces for an AutoZone, from AutoZone's perspective, is excessive. It's more than what it would normally need to function. And I think 80 parking stalls for the restaurant might also be a little bit excessive. So if the township said we should reduce parking to provide a more vibrant landscape buffer, I don't think either AutoZone or the restaurant would object to that. And I agree with the comment that was made that they share the parking at different times. AutoZone's busy periods are Saturday mornings when the do-it-yourselfers are out picking up their auto parts. And of course, the restaurant's busy periods are gonna be dinner time, weekends, Sundays, and any special events they have. And as you can tell by the design, it's certainly intended that the two parcels are sharing access points, or sharing parking, or sharing driveways. So we could do one of two things. We could either minimize some of the parking to put back that 25-foot landscape buffer along the northeast side of the property, or, and again, depending upon some of the infiltration testing results, we could shift some of that parking to what would be the southeast side of the development, butting up against the proposed retention pond.
That can be cut back. I was going to say, this can just go up.
Yeah.
I don't think this really needs to go that far.
So to meet the buffer, you're looking at getting rid of maybe like 14 parking spots.
Well, but what about shifting the whole thing closer to the property line on the Dollar General side?
Well,
you're not speaking of a buffer between the existing development and the residential use next to it now at all. Is that right?
I'm sorry, I'm not following you.
There's no buffer between the restaurant and the Wheatfield or the Milford Town Green property.
For this design, no.
Okay.
So I think the comment was made we would either lose about 14 parking stalls or shift 14 parking stalls. We can certainly shift the trash corral enough to be out of the 25-foot buffer. I think the dotted line that you saw on the site plan was the 30-foot setback line, side yard setback line, so we've actually got a little bit of room, but we could easily move the dumpster. And if we were able to eliminate some parking stalls and still maintain the conditional approval, if not, we would relocate the required number of stalls to maintain the 25-foot buffer along the northeast property line.
Right, but you're still, Carmine, you're still not talking to us about what the buffer would be.
Well, if it's a 25-foot wide green space, naturally any of the existing vegetation that's in that 25-foot wide green space could remain. And if we have to supplement the landscaping in that 25-foot buffer because the existing landscaping was insufficient, then we could do that with additional trees, shrubs as part of the landscape plan.
Yeah, I think we have that in section 410, with the preferred buffers, materials.
With the tree caliper size and all that?
Yeah, I think if we're able to provide the 25-foot wide buffer, we certainly should be able to provide the required number of planting units within the buffer to meet the ordinance.
Yeah, as far as shifting it towards...
Well, is a planting buffer the only option? Would you consider some type of permanent fencing?
We could if the...
I'm asking the commission that, plus whatever your response would be, I'd like to hear that.
Well, I believe it says that. Either a vegetative buffer or a screen.
Well, I think we have more than one option.
Yeah, we do.
So, and this is not a formal application, this is a conversation, correct, Carmine?
At this point, since this is the workshop, I believe that's the case, yes.
Yes, sir, okay.
No, we can't. Workshops, we can't even make a decision.
It's just discussion. I just want to clarify, that's all.
I'm trying to work it through.
So, from our perspective, if a fence was a suitable substitute for a portion of the buffer, we certainly would consider that. If the ordinance allowed us to reduce the width of the buffer because we added a fence, we would certainly consider that.
I think an appropriate fence with vegetation, a combination of the two.
I was thinking exactly that.
Okay, so, Ron, you're thinking that as well. So,
shift this closer to the Dollar General, then they're going to lose 16 parking spots. You'd lose this whole row.
Well, but if we enhance the we wouldn't lose that whole row, right?
Because they would only be losing these.
You would shift this up closer, why would you lose them?
And still maintain a setback.
Right, but it's going to be different here. Like this is
the parking can be in the setback. That's just the this is Dollar General's property. That's a definite commercial use.
Why are we
concerned about that property line is what I'm saying.
Right.
So you're really not losing any.
No, you run them right up against the line then.
Right, but they're parking spaces against another commercial use. To give the residential use relief.
Yep.
Personally, I think it makes sense. And then you're not losing. You know where we've been with reducing parking spaces, then we get a problem where we have a use like across the road that doesn't have enough parking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to...
Yeah, we had shown a minimum 10-foot landscape strip between our parking and the Dollar General property line.
Well, I think we would forgo the planting strip on that side to get more reasonable buffer on the residential part.
Okay.
Yeah, commercial to commercial, we have a different view on that.
Okay.
I mean, you'd have to ask the supervisor, but I think that would be more reasonable in my, I don't know. What does Mr. Farley think?
Well, I'm reading them as we're talking. I mean, and you said about a fence, and I don't seem to see one that says a fence. It's just giving me 25 by 10. It can be reduced for good cause shown.
It can be reduced. As I understand it, we can accept what they, if they propose what we feel is appropriate, that can be reduced.
The width of the buffer may be reduced along the rear and side lot lines for good cause, but not along the front line, and no less than 10 feet.
And no less than 10 feet, so.
Right.
But we left that language so that we had the latitude to accept the reasonable. And I think a combination of fence and vegetation would make sense. Because you know as well as I do that vegetation, when it's new, doesn't do the job.
No,
it takes years to grow in.
Once it grows in, it's a better sound deadener than a fence.
Right. So if you got a fence to give them something that's and a fence needs to have reasonable height too. I would, you know.
Carmen, what are you going to have coming in for deliveries? Are you going to have tractor trailers coming in?
Well, AutoZone maintains its own fleet of delivery trucks. They're WB62s or tractor trailers, but they are owned and operated by AutoZone. AutoZone typically has deliveries come once a week. They bring deliveries from a central hub or central distribution center to their stores within specific regions. So we expect the AutoZone store probably get a delivery once, maybe twice a week at the most, and we do have...
It's daily.
I'm sorry?
It's daily.
It's daily?
It's daily. The parts stores get deliveries daily. They may not be a tractor trailer every day, but they're going to get some type of delivery every day. Sometimes multiple, sometimes morning and afternoon.
Is the tractor trailer backing down where the dumpster is to unload?
Yeah, we show the loading area in front of the trash corral for the AutoZone.
Right, that's what I thought.
Is there a turning radius for that?
Is there a proper turning radius? We have the drive aisles pretty wide, so we do run truck turning plans. They can certainly be provided when the construction documents are prepared, but we run those and vet those with AutoZone well before we get too deep into the design documents.
Okay.
Carmine, how close are you to the Wheatfield Village public well?
I think the wellhead document that you had provided to us, or the township had provided us, we were about 300 feet away, I thought. I don't know exactly the scale of the document. I wasn't able to, you know, accurately scale it, but I do know that we are within the wellhead protection zone for that particular well.
So what is our direct impact on that?
Now it comes down to what...
We took the ordinance here.
What chemicals and...
How far did you say it was?
Was it 300 feet to the building?
I believe it's 300 feet to the property line.
To the property line.
I believe so. But again, don't quote me. We can certainly try
so
to do
it's
a
within
more
the 1,000 foot.
I was going to say, I think it's Zone B. I was looking earlier because I wanted to see what...
So then... what typically in volume does an AutoZone store have in it that are oils or volatile chemicals or those type of things?
Well, to answer that, I'm going to turn it over to Tom, who's the AutoZone operations guy. He can speak to the protocols for hazardous materials and containment. And Tom also, one of the other questions the Planning Commission had was about special events, and Tom can address that comment as well.
Yes, hi, how are you guys? So,
can I ask, did you look at this wellhead ordinance? Do you agree your Zone B, 1,000 feet then? Or you don't know that?
Oh, me personally? No, that's...
Okay. From what I, based on what Carmen said, I think you're in Zone B, And then it addresses it under 426.7, additional requirement. Storage of the following hazardous substances, and it gives a whole list. And that it can't use an amount of 35 gallons or 55 gallons or more in instances where secondary containment is provided. Shall be prohibited in all wellhead protection zones, petroleum, hydrocarbon. Those questions need to be answered, Carmen. 426.7.
Yeah, we are definitely in Zone B. When I looked at the map, I could clearly determine the property. We were definitely in Zone B. The green dot, which represented the wellhead, that was clearly shown on that reference map as well. And that's why I say, I think from the wellhead to the property line, given the fact that the circle itself is, I think, 1,000 feet, we look to be about 300 feet away.
Okay. Then, knowing that, did you address the concerns on the wellhead ordinance before tonight?
Well, again, I'm going to have to defer to Tom and the operations folks. I know that AutoZone has specific protocols and procedures for containment. Tom can answer questions about the types of material that they store in an AutoZone. We know AutoZone does not sell tires, so there is no tires. Obviously, there's no repair work done in AutoZone, no gasoline. They do recycle used oil. If you buy oil from AutoZone, then you can recycle your used oil. But again, I'll defer to Tom and let him answer some of those questions.
Yes. Okay. I can try to answer any questions you guys have.
Well, I think what you would need to start with is the total volume and the type of containment and how often you remove the used material. Or I think we need to hear the whole story.
Okay, so I mean, so we have a 185 gallon oil tank. It's I'm gonna pull the specs up here so I can read them off to you guys. It's a 185 gallon tank. It's UL 142 rated. It's double walled steel construction with no outside piping. It does have a gauge on top of it. It gets emptied when it gets full. Safety Clean comes in with a tank that meets all specs that they hook directly to that and suck the oil into their tank and remove it from the property. The oil container does conform to CFR 40-279.22 for used oil storage containers, and it's all properly labeled, and we obviously track that and use the gauge to make sure that it gets emptied. There's not a set date. Every store is a little different based on how much used oil it gets. But again, with the tank and the gauge, we are able to have Safety Clean really come in on short notice to come in, and we have a nationwide contract with Safety Clean to come in and remove those things. So,
does that have an alarm on the between the two walls to let you know if there's a leak on the inner tank?
It does, yes. And then the lid of the tank stays closed except for when oil is being put into it. We don't allow customers to do that. Only trained employees take the used oil in a container and it's poured into the tank. That is only for used oil. We don't take contaminated fluids, so we're not disposing of any contaminated fluids that have gasoline or antifreeze or anything else like that contaminating the oil. So it's strictly just for used oil. And then if we ever do, for any reason, if a customer sticks us with what we call orphan fluid, which would be oil that's contaminated with anything, Safety Clean will actually bring out sealed containers for us to put the orphan fluid in for them to remove.
Yeah. Where do you store this container?
Inside the back?
The used oil container stays in the back. It's in the back of the store near the loading door.
Outside or inside?
Inside. Okay. Inside the building.
So you're not addressing the total volume of oil and other fluids in the building that are volatile.
Well, so I honestly don't, you know, I have an exact number of how much oil, I mean, or what you would consider volatile from a...
Well, here, okay, so let me help you. Here, the premise is that you're in an area where there's a public well, and the idea is to protect the sure. wellhead. So is there secondary containment in the building to hold the volume of all the oil and material that you have inside the building in case of a fire or any of that type of an incident? So in other words, is the building designed so it's going to hold all of that material?
To be 100% honest, that would probably be something outside of my realm of expertise. I run stores. I mean, I'm a regional person now, but as far as all of those, I guess we would call engineer specs, I don't necessarily have all that. I know, like I said, we have plans in place if there's ever spills. We've got policies, training, all the MSDS data sheets for if there's ever any issues with anything. Obviously, we would get any environmental agency involved if ever needed to be. As far as specific specs as to what would contain if there is ever some kind of catastrophe like a fire or a flood or something to that effect, I don't have the building specs to that kind of knowledge to know. Not to give you guys a truthful answer, I don't want to mislead you guys.
No, that's fine. That's why we're having a conversation tonight, so that we don't, so that we understand what you're doing and you don't get any surprises, right, Carmine?
Yeah, I would think that you know, if AutoZone was able to provide a list of the solvent materials that they sell and a general idea of the volume of that. For instance, if they sell antifreeze. How much, what is the volume of antifreeze that would be stored in the store in what types of containers, and, you know, what is the protocol, you know, if there is a spill or if there is a disaster, so to speak. I know that AutoZone has no floor drains in their building, so there's no chance of anything that it spilled on the floor would leak into the septic system, into the field. I know that, again, they sell typical retail products like windshield wiper fluid, Bug Be Gone, certain solvents, adhesives, cleaners that could be classified as flammable, hazardous. But I think what would be beneficial for the township is if AutoZone was able to put together a list of those types of materials, the typical volume that's stored in the store of that material, and the containment or the packaging of that material, you know, to see if that would be compliant with the wellhead protection zone, because again, we are within Zone B of that wellhead for that residential use.
I'd like to move to approve it.
Good night, Bill. So there can be simple ways to contain on the property too. The perimeter could be 12 inches higher than the storage area, or that there are ways that there can be containment put in the building that really doesn't necessarily affect anybody, but it assures that stuff is, because if you read this ordinance, and I don't want to speak ahead of ourselves, but if you read this ordinance, you're certainly over whatever the volume is going to be.
55 gallons and 35.
Right.
So, in the past, we've had an oil truck that wanted to rent a space that was in the watershed, and they had to raise the sides of the walls up a foot, and then they put some kind of, it was like a seal tight at the garage door. Once they backed in, that would close and seal everything off. So while the trucks were in the garage, if anything happened to one of the trucks, the leak would stay contained on top of the concrete inside the building.
Yeah, didn't what's his name also have an inflatable?
That's what I'm talking about.
He did in the